Football on Off the Ball.
Brought to you by the Boyle Sports app. Cash out and in-play betting available in the App Store and Google Play Store.
All right, a very good afternoon to you. Welcome along to the Friday Football Betting Show on a Thursday. It's because the International Week is here, and as a result, Ireland are playing tonight, and we figured that we'd get all the bad news out of the way on a Thursday. Is it going to be bad news? Who knows? I'm going to take a quick look at how we did last week before we... before you get to make your mind up whether or not you want to back on the basis of what we're going to tell you today or on your own kind of well-informed opinions. We'll stick those up. I don't think we had a winner between us. Myself, Kev, Philig and yourself, the four of us managed to have four losing bets. So I went with Everton and Crystal Palace to win. A bad bet, it turns out. Phil had Chelsea to win and both teams to score on the basis that David Luiz was part of the team.
He was unlucky there. Bournemouth missed two absolute sitters. So he was very unlucky, Phil.
In the real world, I backed Bournemouth plus two in that game as part of a double with Wolves plus one against West Ham, which was a great bet, it turned out.
Yeah.
But that bit let me down. So Kev's treble, Crystal Palace to beat Southampton, Everton to beat Huddersfield, and Wolves to beat West Ham. The Wolves to beat West Ham on its own would have been a pretty good bet.
I know, it's amazing looking at the three. The biggest price of his treble, one, and the two short price. Everton were terrible against Huddersfield, and Crystal Palace, without Wilfried Zaha, I think they've only won once in their last 13 games when he doesn't play. So he's obviously the key man.
Yeah, and then so your bets, Sergio Aguero, first goal scorer, both teams to score, and over 3.5 goals.
Yeah, there was only 3 goals. Both teams did score, and Sergio didn't score first. Raheem Sterling got off the mark.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's tricky with City because there are so many decent players in that team that, like, against the crap teams, you feel like Aguero is always going to score 2 or 3, and he's going to do that. But I don't know. Those first goal scorer bets,
they're hard.
They are. That's why there's a market, folks. Right, let's get going.
The Friday Football Betting Show.
Thanks to the Boyle Sports Bet Builder. Combine multiple selections into one single bet at one great price. Try it today at offtheball.com/Boyle Sports.
Yeah, so our Friday Football Betting Show this week, as I told you, it's an international special. And we're going to start, obviously, with the Ireland-Wales game, or the Wales-Ireland game, to be more accurate. Leon, the price opened on Ireland a little bit earlier on in the week, and the price is getting longer as kickoff approaches.
Yeah, look, it is. I mean, Ireland are drifting. Excuse me. Ireland were 7-2. Wales were even money. Wales have now gone odds on 20-23, and Ireland are drifting towards that 4-1 mark, 15-4, 5-1. For offtheball.com/Boyle Sports, a special on the match, Ireland at 5-1. Look, I think when you look at Ireland and looking at the probable first 11, the back five looks very solid. Coleman, Duffy, Clark and Ward playing in front of Randolph. I wouldn't be in any way worried about that back five. I think they've played enough together. Seamus Coleman is a big plus. Didn't play in that big win when McLean got the winner the last time he played Wales. But it's when you look past that, where is the creativity going to come from? How are we going to score? I'm looking at maybe a set piece, a corner kick or a free kick into the box. Look, I like Duffy anytime at 16-1. He's 40-1 to score the first goal. Now, he's well able to get up there and score a header from a free or a corner, but I think Wales would be looking at this game, Ger, and saying, right, Ireland are missing an awful lot of lads who would be in the first 11. If we want any chance of winning this mini group, they'll obviously play a fourth or fifth string Danish side on Sunday.
Yeah.
So if they can beat Ireland tonight...
They're home and housed.
Well, they'll have 6 points. So it's going to be very difficult to see how...
With another home game to come, like, you would assume that 6 points will be enough to qualify for the playoffs, right, Owen? Yeah. You're our man here.
Of course it is. Of course it is, yeah. I think. It's a three-team group. So, of course, 6 points is going to be enough to qualify for playoffs. The thing is... Are they going to beat us by more, or are they going to beat the futsal team by more? That's the embarrassing comparison we're going to be making at the end of the week. And there does seem to be kind of a groupthink mentality amongst the Irish public, clearly going by that market, that we're all, the negativity has just bred negativity and more negativity, and we all think we're not only going to lose, but we're going to get hammered. But you look at that back five, we're not going to get hammered tonight.
No, I don't think so.
We're going to get beaten either 1-0 or 2-0.
Yeah.
Just, a quick reminder as well, be sure to get involved on our social channels. The best comments are going to win free bets courtesy of Boyle Sports. We'll be giving them out pretty soon. So you've got to do this during the live show. I'm sorry if you're watching this on repeat ahead of kickoff tonight. You've missed your opportunity to enter this. But if you are watching live right now, hit us with your comments either on Twitter, at Off the Ball, or of course, you can just leave it on the Periscope stream or the Facebook stream. We've got them all open and we'll be giving the best comments, 50 euro free bet courtesy of Boyle Sports. go on, sorry. We're not going to get hammered?
Yeah, no, I mean, I agree entirely with what Owen has just said there. We're not going to get hammered. If you look at the last two games between these two countries, it only produced 3 goals in total. So there's not an awful lot of creativity on both sides.
No.
Now, Gareth Bale, you could say, is coming into this game more positive after the way he finished the season with Real Madrid. Of course, we all remember that wonder goal in the Champions League final. And he is the only world-class player on show tonight, really. So they do have that. They've also got Ramsey, who's a very, very good player on his day. Their back four is not great. They do have Davies, who plays for Spurs. But look, Walters will probably play alone up front and will try and help him with the likes of maybe O'Dowda, Hourihane, Robinson, maybe Burke. So we don't have an awful lot of goals there, Jer. But I would say if you offered O'Neill and Keane now a draw,
they
would take it. Because it would be a good result away from home with all the injuries, with all the stuff that's going on around the camp. A share of the spoils away to Wales would be a decent result. And that's actually been backed. The draw is now 2-1, having been 9-4. So people are backing either Wales to win or a draw. There's no money for Ireland, unfortunately.
Yeah, I think what a lot of it comes down to quite often is what sort of form are they currently in for their club rather than the actual sort of big name players. Like you look at Joe Allen, you think, oh, big name player. Form at the club quite poor, so I wouldn't be worried about him. It's the fella beside him in midfield, David Brooks, with Bournemouth, who started the season really, really well. He kind of looks like a 12-year-old on the pitch. He's like, who the hell is that kid? He's actually playing Premier League football. Turns out he's a really good footballer. He's chosen Wales over England.
He must look young if you think he looks young.
Well, that's it. We need to actually sit down with the Welsh Football Federation and say, how did you get a guy like David Brooks, who went from Wales under 17 to, I think, England under 20, and has actually come back and said he wants to play for Wales, because we need some sort of politics like that in Irish football. Then in front of him, you've got Bale and Ramsey, and according to Keith Andrews on his show yesterday, Tom Lawrence is flying at the moment for Derby.
He's playing well for Derby. Yeah. Yeah, he is. Yeah.
So, and all of that behind Sam Vokes, who is a better striker than Jonathan Walters. So offensively, there is no question that if we get away from Cardiff with a draw, Martin O'Neill can sit in front of that microphone in the press conference and rightly feel very smug with his evening's business.
Yeah, and I think that's probably how we're going to set up Myler and Hendrick to cover
our back.
Yeah, defensive. And look, as I said, you can always nick something from a corner kick, from a free kick. We weren't great, Jaron, in the 1-0 victory that got us to the playoffs, but we just produced one moment of magic. Now, whenever it's nil all, and I'm sure they'll be trying to frustrate, I'm interested to see what they do with Myler. Do they put Myler on Bale? Do they actually try and nullify Gareth Bale tonight? Because I think, obviously, same as Christian Eriksen, when we went to Denmark, we kept him out of the game in the nil all draw. So maybe we apply similar tactics to Gareth Bale. And to me, that's right. You've got to play with what you have at your disposal.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, if you go man-to-man and he skins you, then suddenly you're out of the game. If you try and somehow attack at the point of supply, then I don't know. I just don't think that we have the personnel at the moment to deal with Gareth Bale properly. That's why I'm scared about tonight.
The reason why I'm a little bit scared about Gareth Bale is that we don't have James McLean in the team, because Gareth Bale turns into this weird sort of creature when he pulls on the Wales jersey. He starts to care passionately, patriotically, like I've never seen a human being care about Wales before. And like when he took his anger out on John O'Shea in the Aviva Stadium that evening, he could have done a hell of a lot more damage. That was pure, disgusting frustration. It was like that Jamie Vardy tackle on Matt Doherty on the first day of the Premier League season this year. Like, that's the sort of character you can get out of Gareth Bale. Do we have the characters in that team to actually make Gareth Bale angry? I'm not so sure.
James McLean
is pretty good at that. But Myler, I think it's a great shout. Let Myler just go and do a man-marking job, even just for the future of this tournament, even for the future of this team. That is there a future for David Myler in that sort of role? Because there's a very big talisman in the other team in this group who has caused us heartache in Dublin before. And if we had someone like Myler, who's a proven man-marker after doing a job like that on Gareth Bale tonight, and he goes up against Christian Eriksen in a few months' time and is feeling pretty confident about himself.
Well, look, we saw what happened when Myler came off at halftime in the Aviva. It just fell apart. And you saw how Myler played in that almost playoff game against Wales. He was exceptional. Now, he missed the first leg in Copenhagen, but he came back into the side and then he was taken off at halftime. I think Myler is that man without McLean. He's the one who wears his heart on his sleeve. He gives everything for the green jersey of Ireland. And I think there's a big performance in him. I'm looking to see Jeff Hendrick step up tonight. You know, he just hasn't, like, he had a good Euros and for whatever reason just hasn't seemed to kick on. Maybe there's a few niggling injuries that he's had that haven't enabled him to reach his full potential, but I think Hendrick is still a good player, but we need to see more from him.
O'Neill's going to park the bus. The best result we can hope for is a nil all, says Patrick Griffin on Facebook. I think you're right, Patrick. And as a result, we're going to give you our first €50 free bet, courtesy of Boyle Sports. So come on yourself, Patrick. We'll be in touch after the show with the details of how you can collect. So we get through our bets for this, because you've had the patriotic draw in as part of your bet builder, Leon.
Yeah, I have. Look, I mean, obviously with the players that are missing, I'm hoping, and I think the best we can hope for tonight is a draw. I don't think there's going to be an awful lot of goals. As I said, there was 3 goals in 2 games in the qualifying group for the World Cup, and both teams not to score. So I've put them all together, and it works out at 6-1. I'd be delighted if we just got a draw. Nil all or one all will suffice. Obviously, one all wouldn't help my bet with both teams not to score. So I'm hoping it's a nil all draw. But anyone out there who's looking at nil all, don't back nil all, back no goal scorer, because if there's an own goal, you still get paid. So if you think this is going to be a nil all draw, stick to no goal scorer, because you get that insurance of if there's an own goal, you'll still get paid.
Okay, good bit of tip there. I think Kev's Treble is available for us, if we can have a look at that for this week. So he's staying away from the Ireland game. We'll get back to our Ireland bets in just a minute. So this one is 9-1. Switzerland against Iceland. I presume that's the Swiss to beat the Icelands, is it? Yeah. Okay, so Czech Republic versus Ukraine, Czech Republic to win, and Turkey against Russia. Back in the Turks to beat the Russians.
Well, there. We ain't in Dallas anymore, are we? When it comes to the Russian team, they're not in front of their own referees. They're not in not in front of their own. Well, the fans really is what did it for them in Russia, wasn't it? So
the fans. It was the fans.
Yeah.
9-1 is that treble?
I'm sorry, Kevin. But I'm not having any of that. Actually, honestly, that's a terrible treble. Yeah, like, that's what I read it a second time. Like, they're like on the fence, all three of them. And like, where's Kevin getting his information from?
I don't know. He's well connected in the world of football.
He's like a. He's got some good Eastern European footballing contacts right there. Of course, he was over there for the World Cup, so he's obviously built up. He was networking for his Boyle Sports account, obviously.
Well, look, if you want to go with Kevin's, we're giving for new and existing customers, it's basically a free €50 cashback offer. If you lose 50 on Kevin's treble, you'll get it back as cash. So it's a free one-off, or if you like my bet builder at 6-1, have a go. And if you don't, if you're not successful, we'll give you up to €50 back in cash. So it's a free bet.
I'm sure he knows what he's talking about, Kev. Like I say it facetiously, but I'm looking at that. I'm like, wow, that's on the fence, all of those fixtures.
Yeah. I mean, I would pick something better. We'll talk about the France-Germany game in a while. But just to go back to Owen and my bet for the Ireland game, Owen, not very patriotic. He thinks Wales are going to win at under 2.5 goals. So that is a 1-0 or a 2-0 win. And Owen comes through. That's 9-4. Mine is 9-1, Wales to win 2-1. I think Wales are going to win this game. And I think that there's a good chance that Shane Duffy nuts one in.
Yeah, look, I mean, he has been known to score on big occasions for Ireland, and probably scored too early at the Aviva the last day against Denmark. Then it all just went completely tits up after we went 1-0 up. But look, Wales
scored
to win
already this season. I think they liked it. Yeah, I think your anytime goal scorer 16-1 is a good bet.
Look, he's very good in the air. You know, I mean, he is a serious threat. We saw how good England were with set pieces at the World Cup.
Yeah.
And I'm sure Martin O'Neill, going back to his Celtic days, they used to score an awful lot from set pieces. Mm. So
no goal scorer is 5-1. You get, if there's no goal scorer, if there's an own goal.
If there's an own goal, you still get paid.
Ah, right, okay.
So it's just that little insurance, and not everyone knows that, but it's not really a goal scorer, if you know what I mean, because it's not, you know, and same as if you back a first goal scorer and the first goal's an OG, it goes on to who scores the second goal.
Wait, okay.
And that's 5-1.
Right. Yeah.
Why did I go for Wales under 2.5 goals and 9-4 then? If I'd known that was a 5-1 offer. There you go. I'll know for next time.
Well, because you get the 1-0 with that. Like the 1-0 or 2-0.
1-0 or 2-0.
Yes, that's true, actually. That's
you think they're going to win?
Yeah, I do.
No goal scorer means that there's going to be a 0-0 draw.
Well, that's it. But I mean, like, in terms of probability, like the gap between those two things, in my mind, aren't that far apart from happening.
Yeah,
my suspicion is that Wales are going to nick one and beat us 1-0 just because of what they've got going forward. Like, the thing is, they've got Ashley Williams, who's probably going to start at the heart of the defence, who hasn't had for a good few months. Like, I do recall on Off the Ball maybe last year, Kevin Kilbane and Robbie Savage got into a big argument about who they'd rather have in their team, and it was Ashley Williams, and was it Shane Duffy, the other person, or was it Seamus Coleman? It was Shane Duffy. And Kevin was obviously going for Duffy. Robbie Savage was like using the crying laughing emoji far too much on Twitter, saying how can he possibly say that? Well, I think the crying laughing emoji could be used in Robbie Savage's opinion right now, because he's had a terrible few months. And like, you would fancy yourself if you had somebody up front, if you had somebody in like regulation football this evening who could do a bit of damage running around Ashley Williams from a set piece. You suspect they're going to be a bit more sturdy. He's going to have a few more people around him to actually back that up. But I don't know. I think if Ireland are going to score, as Jura says, it's going to be Duffy knocking one in.
And I think with John Walters, he's been a tremendous servant to Irish football. He's another guy who puts in absolutely everything he has. But unfortunately for him, hasn't played an awful lot in the last year. But you never know with him. He's popped up with some vital goals for us in the past. But again, he wouldn't have the pace that could trouble Ashley Williams. And even though Shane Long doesn't score enough, you could see Shane Long stretching Ashley Williams with his pace. But unfortunately, he's injured as well. So we don't have an awful lot. Like, Graham Burke is second in for Ireland to score. I mean, like, here's a young kid who's just gone from Shamrock Rovers to Preston.
Debutant third.
Yeah, you know, it's... You're struggling to see where we're going to score.
Really, aren't we?
You know, like, and that's why I think we're all probably on the right line with Shane Duffy. Yeah?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That Wales squad is pretty interesting as well. Ethan Ampadu, I think, is Kwame Ampadu's son, who
plays for Chelsea, doesn't he? Yeah.
I mean, there's another one. How does somebody who played for Ireland, how does his son end up playing for a different country that we didn't
that's
like?
Point.
At least, kind of.
Make.
At least in that one, you have a proper look. Your dad actually was, you know.
Yeah.
We could, but that one definitely slipped through the net. So. Who knows? And then you're looking through their squad, and actually, it's way better than ours. It's not even close. It's way better.
They do have a far better squad at the moment, certainly. And even young Ben Woodburn doesn't really get an awful lot of game time with Liverpool, but he's a very, very decent player. He's gone out on loan, I think, to Sheffield United, maybe, is he, Woodburn, I think. But
yeah, look, he's not in the squad tonight either. I think there's like 24-man squad down to 23 sort of thing, and he's been left out.
But like, even, I mean, to leave him out, yeah. You know, imagine like if he was in our squad.
Straight in the team.
Yeah, yeah.
Second favourite to be the scorer anytime. He's a defender.
We're up against it tonight, lads. We really, really are. There's no doubt about that.
John McCabe on Facebook. Unfortunately, I think we might get lashed more than the horses in Ben-Hur tonight. So you are our second winner. Good man, John. You're picking up a 50 quid bet from Bowen Sports, courtesy of that one. Okay, so some of the other games to try and whet your appetite for getting involved this evening is, well, the Germany-France game is pretty interesting because Tony Kroos came out and was slagging off one of his young teammates who didn't make the World Cup squad, when actually maybe it turns out they might have, they could have used a bit of Leroy Sané.
Yeah, I mean, you just think it's very strange for a kid that's been left out of the World Cup squad. He's been brought back into the first squad, and the first thing he's reading is that one of his teammates is saying you need to change your body language. Now, maybe he does. So maybe it's Tony Kroos saying, look, either buck up or you're going to ruin the chance you have, because he's an ultra, ultra talented footballer. He's got everything. He's got a left peg, which are in short supply. He's got pace. He's got power. He can finish. He's got the lot, Jer. But I think probably what Tony Kroos was kind of saying is, if we win or if we lose, there's no difference with you, you know? And like, for a young kid, you'd be expecting a bit more out of him in terms of his character. So look, it'll be interesting to see, does he start tonight at home against France? You'd have to say France are a big enough price at almost 2-1 at 19-10.
I think so, yeah.
I mean, the way they played in the World Cup, obviously they are champions. They're going to be coming here, and I think they'll fancy their chances against Germany. Germany, to me, looked like they need to start rebuilding. I'm surprised they kept the coach. I really am. That would worry me, that he's been able to keep his job.
Yeah.
I'd go with France 19-10.
Well, that's the thing. It's not a rebuilding job for Germany. It's kind of like Joachim Löw putting out a team tonight who's going to be like, we've got to salvage some pride. We've had a terrible summer. We've embarrassed our people. Like, there's been such an embarrassing slew of events in the wake of the Mesut Ozil situation that this match is actually sort of a pride salvaging exercise for all of us here. Whereas for France, it's like they're still sipping on the champagne from the World Cup. Like, I'm not sure if this thing particularly, it's on in Munich, I think, tonight, but it's certainly on German soil. So, like, I would give Germany every chance of not getting defeated anyway by France tonight. I think that one's going to be a draw. I think there's a big price there in France for a reason, and I think there is a huge incentive tonight. It might not be a huge incentive in everybody's eyes, but a huge incentive in German eyes to actually beat the French tonight.
I would hope that Ireland will win, but Head says that my bet, Jer's bet's going to happen, the 2-1 win for for Wales to win. That was 9-1 when we had that. I'd probably come in a little bit since then, given that the price on the Welsh has shortened. The other interesting games this weekend, I suppose England are playing against Spain on Saturday evening. We've got a special enhanced offer on this one as well. England to win, both teams to score, was 9-2, is now 6-1. So if you put a tenner down on that, you'll get £70 back on that. And that is available until just before kickoff on Saturday in that one.
Like on those glamour ties, like fantastic. They're glamour ties. If Ireland weren't playing tonight, I'd be watching Germany against France. I'd probably take a look at England-Spain at the weekend. But there's such a contradiction here that these glamour ties exist, but these glamour ties are also the least important games in the Nations League because all these countries are going to qualify automatically for the Euros anyway. They're not going to need this thing for a backdoor situation. They won't need a playoff route from the Nations League. So there's every chance that we see second-string teams week in, week out in Group A in the Nations League, which is a little bit disappointing because that's the whole reason why this has been created, for teams of a similar level to play each other. But other than that, I'll probably watch it.
Yeah, but I kind of look at this, I agree, but I think Gareth Southgate, I think just hearing what he's been saying during the week and that we haven't really been successful against the big nations and it's about time we start to beat the big nations, I think he'll put more emphasis on winning this game than Spain. And that's why I think England will win. I actually fancy England at home. I think 7-4, it's very close in the betting. It's 7-4, 2-1, 7-4. So you can see no one really knows who's going to win it. But I actually like the enhancement, both teams to score and England to win out to 6-1, because I think there will be goals. And I just like England at the minute. I just find Southgate, he's saying all the right things. I think for him, it's more important that they perform well. And I agree with you, they will qualify for the next Euros, as will Spain, as will all the big nations.
You're still going to watch it though.
I will watch it. Yeah. And I'll be interested to see, does he play Joe Gomez? I think he will. I think Joe Gomez has started exceptionally well for Liverpool. He had a great game when he played in a three against Brazil, when he put Jesus in his pocket for the entire game. Now, he obviously got injured and missed the World Cup. But I think England have got a young enough squad. They've got Harry Kane, so they have got a goal scorer. And I fancy England. I think they will beat Spain.
Yeah, I do too. I think that the other thing about these friendlies is that because you can't make 10 substitutions at halftime, because they're real proper competitive, you're getting a cap for this international on the counts, that somehow just changes the whole tone of it, that actually managers will try and use this. Because if you're an international manager, you have so little contact time with the players that you actually want to see what they're like in these relatively bigger matches. Okay, so it's not a tournament and it's not a knockout qualifier, but like you learn more from, if you're the Spanish manager, you learn more from trying to get your team to win this game than you do from your qualifier against Estonia, where, you know, you can rest players, you can put whatever you want out, and you know that you're going to win 3-0 like with a bad performance, and you'll win 6-0 with a good performance, and you might somehow, if things go really bad and you've got two men sent off, you're still only going to win that 1-0. Like, which are you going to learn more from if you're the new Spanish coach who's like, okay.
Yeah, see, I kind of look at Spain as in, now is the time for them, even with these games, to try different players, different systems, see which players can play where, see which players gel, because at the end of the day, they'll definitely make Euro 2020. There's no doubt about it. And these are the type of games against an England side where, you know, football is coming home for a while. But there is still an air of optimism in England. There's an air that, look, we're a young team, we're building, we got to a semi-final. We're now playing Spain, who were favourites, of course, for the World Cup before they obviously sacked their manager and whatever happened. But I think England will view this as, let's beat Spain. And let's keep the ball rolling.
Completely. But also, aren't we watching this from an Irish perspective as well? Because should Ireland qualify for Euro 2020, we're in the same group as Spain, because Dublin and Bilbao have been linked together as host cities for that one group. So yeah, we're going to be playing them either in Dublin or in... It is Bilbao, isn't it? The San Mamés Stadium that's been chosen as the Spain representative for that particular round. So
I didn't
like,
know that.
We're watching Spain. It's like we're going to be playing you in 2 years if we qualify, like, which is still a big if.
Leinster fans will tell you, don't book accommodation until the night before, because the locals were ramped up the prices on Airbnb. But the night before, when they realised nobody was coming, it was like, ooh, suddenly it was very available and very cheap.
Yeah.
I want to say Bilbao. Like, you're making me think twice now. It's not Seville or something.
Nice part of the world, though.
Yeah, it is. But I don't know, like...
Are we going to qualify? Is there any hope in hell that we're actually going to qualify for this massively bloated, expanded tournament where there's going to be games in Dublin? It'll be the worst thing that's happened in Irish football since Saipan if we don't qualify.
It would be. I think there's two ways of looking at it, and I think the lads touched on it last night as well, Ronnie Whelan and Mark Lawrenson. If Ireland don't perform well in these games and we finish bottom, I think the Denmark thing will be sorted out by next month.
Yeah.
So if we finish bottom and we haven't looked as if we were going to ever win, does the question then be posed, do we stick with what we have?
As in Keenan O'Neill.
Yeah, ahead of the qualifying campaign, or do we make a change? Mm. So it's interesting times in terms of, okay, like a lot of nations will be able to just pass these games off. But for Ireland, and I think for our current management setup, with what's gone on in the past week, with what's come out in the news and in the media, I think there's a bit of pressure on them.
Yeah.
They need to actually have a good four matches. They need to get something.
Do they need to have a go tonight?
I don't think anyone expects us to have a go tonight with the injuries and with the players missing. I think we can accept tonight that our backs are going to be against the wall. We're going to just try and hold on. I thought Ronnie Whelan made a very good point last night. We don't seem to have an identity. Are we going to hit it long, put them under pressure? Are we going to try and play a bit of football? We seem to mix and match, and we, like, it's not like back in Jack's days or even Trapattoni's days, you knew what we were doing.
Yeah.
Okay, everyone didn't agree with it all the time, but at least you knew what way we were going to set up and what way we were going to try and play. Now I don't know what way we're going to play.
The other thing about the missing players is, like, they're not that much better than the players. Okay, so Declan Rice clearly is somebody who, but I don't think he's going to play for us again. So let's just park him, right? But so Harry Arthur is probably on the fringes of the team, maybe, maybe not. Shane Long is probably in the team, but is he any better than Johnny Walters at this stage? I mean, he would say he is, but when was the last time? What have you done for me lately? James McLean's probably in the team ahead of, but who else is actually?
I suppose Robbie Brady.
Left back or playing centre mid? Or
you see, this is it. I don't think centre mid. I think he's very good when he has the field in front of him going, you know. But look, him and Ward struck up a good partnership on the left, but then you've got McLean. But, you know, like you put Robbie on the right wing, whatever. But I think with Robbie and with Shane, they probably would get into the team because they're probably better than what we have at the minute. But, yeah, look, point is made.
Yeah, we're not
blessed with.
And there's going to be some injuries as you go across the group. Like, we're going to be missing some of these players. Like,
one thing they need to get Matt Doherty into that starting team, because, like, it is to a certain extent putting square pegs in round holes. But they need to find a certain system that it doesn't fit like that. That it isn't as robust as that. That they do play a five at the back or three at the back with wing backs, whatever it is. And I know that Nathan and Keith spoke about it yesterday at length about that. But there is a kind of a push towards that with a lot of ex-players in the way they're thinking. Will Martin O'Neill and Roy Keane consider that? I don't think so.
No, and you know what? It probably would actually suit our squad.
Yeah.
Because, like, Seamus is very good. He could be a great wing back. Ward or Brady could be an exceptional option on the left wing back. You know, as you said with Matt Doherty, I'm a huge fan of him. He's playing for Wolves. He's in the Premier League. I mean, we need players playing for Ireland that are playing in the best league. And, you know, I don't understand, and I agree with your point. You don't play someone from a lower league. You try and fit your best players into a system.
Yeah.
But maybe with O'Neill, it's kind of rigid, isn't it? It's 4-5-1 or it's
like low. I can't see them changing before.
And he took so long to stick him in the squad, and, you know, you're kind of like a little very. He's very reluctant about some players for some reason sometimes that we can't discern. There's like, maybe he didn't get back to a text message or something, so like, or the two blue ticks on WhatsApp happened.
Yeah.
I had to wait another 5 minutes before I got. People wondering about odds on O'Neill and Keane to be the next managers to go. There isn't a sack race in international football.
No, there's not. Before Jose beat Burnley, he was the 10-11 favourite. We obviously take it down and we wait and see after the internationals what happens, and we'll bring it back up before the Premier League. But I suppose it just goes back to my point. These are four big games. They have to do something here. Irish fans at the minute are very negative.
Oh, yeah. Unbelievable negativity around the team.
Yeah, you know, and
from that 5-1,
it's not like us, is it really? You know, because we like to get behind them. We like to
think about the anthem before the Denmark game. It was a standing. It was brilliant.
It was one of the cheer after the Duffy goal.
It was one of the best things that I remember.
Well, there was huge optimism. We'd gone to Copenhagen. We got the nil all. Then we scored early in the Aviva. I think we all expected, okay, we're going to hang on here for the next whatever it was, but it just fell apart. And this
hasn't recovered since.
No, it hasn't recovered since.
There hasn't been an opportunity in their defence.
No.
Like, you can't say, oh, if they went out and hammered the USA, we'd all be sitting here looking ahead to an Ireland win.
Yeah. I think if you had Declan Rice, like, and we were looking forward to, look, however this Nations League pans out, he's now part of our setup and we're building a team around him and a couple of others. And there's these kids coming through and we're talking about Burke and we're talking about Robinson and we're talking about some players who are actually like, oh, this is going to be the centerpiece of our team into the future. We'd kind of be excited about the fact, a little bit, that
little bit,
like, these games are happening.
Well, I think you can build a team around him, Jer. You know, because he does look...
Wherever he plays.
Wherever he plays. I mean, when he moved into the middle of the park, I thought he was exceptional for us. I tell you, another guy who was very unlucky too with injuries. I think he is a proven goal scorer, not at the highest level yet, Shawnee Maguire. I think for him, he just, I mean, he's getting going, then he gets an injury. He's getting going, gets an injury. I know even Lauro last night spoke exceptionally high of him. The people in Preston rate him really, really highly.
Yeah.
His training, his dedication. Just hopefully, touch wood, he can get a clear run away from injuries.
Yeah, no doubt. Leon, great stuff. Thanks very much. I want to thank you as well. For all of our offers, check out offtheball.com/boilsports. If you're feeling patriotic, there is an enhanced offer on the Republic of Ireland right there. But if you're not, you can always have a look at the England to beat Spain. And as Leon said, 50 quid, risk-free bet. So you put that 50 quid down and you'll get it back if you lose in cash. John on Twitter with our final competition winner to wrap this up. Ireland plus one at 10 to 11 is the safest bet this week by far. That means John thinks it's going to be a draw, right?
Well, he think, yeah.
Or Ireland are going to win.
Yeah.
I mean,
draw or Ireland win.
I left that bit out because no one thinks that's going to happen. But
yeah,
maybe they will. Maybe Duffy nuts one in and we're. And it's,
It could be a nil all. I mean, they haven't been exciting games, really, the two games in the group, were they? They were, they were pretty dour.
Oh, dear. Right. I'm so excited.
Enjoy the game tonight. You don't even have to watch it. It's live on the radio. Nathan and Gary Breen are going to make it sound like it's absolutely amazing, like you actually want to be there.
It's
probably
better
the
on
best
radio.
Way. It's far better on the radio. This is definitely one of those occasions where sport is better on the radio. They'll have to be live from 7 o'clock this evening. Enjoy. Good luck.
The Friday Football Betting Show.
Thanks to the Boyle Sports Bet Builder. Combine multiple selections into one single bet at one great price. Try it today at offtheball.com/boilsports.